I love coming down here every year for Mom to Mom. So thank y'all for always having me back. It's sort of my, and it's usually in January, so it's sort of my kick off the new year, and so I love that with y'all. I do want to tell y'all about something really special that we've got going on coming up in March. It's a live SOAR conference, and this is just for moms. We have not done a live conference in 7 years, so some of y'all may not even know what that's about, but years ago, I attended a passion conference. I was volunteering for the that passion conference in Atlanta, and I was watching all these college students just praise the Lord, and I was just like, it was so heart. It was just, my kids were in college at the time, and I was just loving it, and they were there, and their hands were raised, and I was like, oh, this is so amazing. And then I started Birds on a Wire, and I was just like, you know what? I want that for the moms. I want moms to be able to worship. Not children are not in the nursery. They're just there for them. I want moms to go and get filled up. And whenever we were naming the conference, they said, what do you want this conference to be called? And I hate that. Like, when you start a ministry, everybody looks to you all the time to come up with all the answers. And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm not creative like that. I don't know. But I was just like, I never will forget. We're sitting in Starbucks, and this girl that worked for Passion, she's like, what do you want it to be called? And I was like, I don't know. I just want the moms to soar out of the room. Like, I want them to be like, I got some extra tools in my tool belt. I can do this. And this year, our theme is going to be peace for the anxious mom. Because if I've noticed anything over the last 4 years, mom's anxiety has risen, including mine. And so I've really done a deep dive on this, and I've got a new curriculum coming out. Don't tell anybody, but it's going to be your gift at the end of the conference. You get more gifts, but that's the main one. But I haven't shared that with anybody, but y'all are special, so I'm telling y'all. But also I wanted to tell you that the price goes up next week. So right now the tickets are $99 for the conference. You can get a table and reserve with 9 of your best friends because the tables are for 10. And then that way, if you walk in late or you are shopping at the store and you're afraid you're not going to get your seat, we have a little nice reserve table that says reserved for such and such group. And you just walk in with ease and you're like, no big deal. And you just sit down and you look at everybody else like, sucker, you could have bought this. But you didn't pay the extra $10, but I did. But you do have to have somebody to upfront the cost. So if somebody, one of your friends says, I'm going to get a table, don't leave her hanging. Don't leave her hanging. Give her your money or whatever. So that's my plug for SOAR. Emily, did I do a good job? Okay, good. Oh, register on the app. This is why I bring Emily. We have a new Birds on a Wire app. It's Birds on a Wire Moms. It's app. It's free. And you just click on it, go to events. SOAR registration, click, you pick your breakout speakers. We're going to have, it's going to be fabulous. Snacks, coffee, hot lunch, all the fun things, it's going to be good. And I did say, we'll just do Chick-fil-A box lunches. Emily said, no, we will not. These moms are tired of it. I'm sorry for the Chick-fil-A employees in here. But she said they're tired of it. They need something different. And I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, I just want to make it easy. Just grab and go. And she's like, no, we will not do that. And I'm like, okay, I got my marching orders. So anyways, that's what I wanted to share with y'all. So today, y'all picked one of my favorite topics because I think it's so applicable with whichever stage of life you're in. And it's named Setting Your Own Pace. So before we dive into that, let me show you my family. I'm in charge of the clicker today. I'm so sorry. I'm not used to this. So this is Birds on Our Moms. Oh, register today. Look, I am so prepared. How about that? Today it's $99. Next week it's going to be $139. It might pay if I would ever look at the slides before I come to talk. So thank you, my assistant Amanda. There's the QR code. Put it on your phones. Okay, here we go. This is my family. This was our, we were at Port St. Joe, and this was this past fall, right before the hurricane blew in, so we had to leave early, but we did get this picture in. So those are my 4 children, my 6 grandchildren, and like Carrie said, one more on the way. So it's a crazy ride, and I don't know about y'all, but being a mom, even a mom of adult children, sometimes I can just find myself, like my life is running me and I'm not running my life. Do y'all ever feel that way? that the schedule, the pace, everything, especially with living in Atlanta. You know, I don't always say that to every group I go to because you need to know your audience. But being a Georgia native, being an Atlanta native, I know for full certainty that for whatever reason, Atlantans, we run at full speed. I never will forget when Greg went to Top Gun, actually, way back a long time ago, I flew out there to see him. I got a rental car and I met him out at Miramar and I got on the highway and I'm used to Georgia, you know, 475 and all that. And I'm like, I'm put the pedal to the metal. I'm going. And all these California people are just taking it easy. I'm like bypassing everybody. And I'm like, ooh, I might need to slow down. They don't go as fast out here as they do back in Georgia. It was just funny to me. But anyways, we run at such a fast pace, don't we? Think about it. The grocery list, the laundry list, the chores, the doctors, the vet. Think about the last time you went out of town. Okay, just think about that for a second. With or without children. If it's children, you got a whole nother laundry list of things you got to do. Carpools and who's going to watch the kids and tag teaming. But you got to figure out the dogs. You got to clean out the refrigerator before you go because you don't want it to smell to high heaven when you come back. All the things, you get in the car and your husband's like, that was really hard packing the car. And you just, yeah, I bet that was difficult for you. And then he's like, what about the dog? And I'm like, taken care of. What about this? Do you stop the mail? Taken care of. What about this? Taken care of. Do you have all the passports? Taken care of. Do you have the shots? The this, the this, the this. Done, done, done. It's just like they don't understand the world that we run in, right? They really don't. So it's this pressure. It's this pressure. We have to do it all. We have to figure it all out, and we feel like we have to keep up, especially living in Atlanta, Georgia. There's pressure because we feel like everybody has it together. Social media is not your friend on this one. Even I look on social media, and I'm like, wow, I will literally watch someone put together this amazing centerscape for her dining room table. I go to Hobby Lobby. I buy the exact same things she bought. I'm like looking at that video 500 times while I'm walking through, and I get all the stuff. I put it in my buggy. I get home, and I try to assemble. Try is the key word there. It never looks like hers. Ever, never, ever, ever. It's so frustrating. And not only that, it's so frustrating. I went to Hobby Lobby this year because I was like, I want to be the grandmother where my children and grandchildren come into my house and I've got crafts and I've got cookies baking and everything is so magical and wonderful. Y'all, I bought all the things. I did a little story on it. I'm in Hobby Lobby. It's 50% off this week. Y'all get your crafts, blah, blah, blah. I showed everybody. I put them in a drawer because I bought them at Thanksgiving. And whenever I was putting things away a week ago, I found all the crafts. Not one person did a craft. And I did bake cookies, but I was exhausted. I was so exhausted. I was like, this is just not worth it. You know what I mean? We feel like we're the only ones that can't do it. Do y'all ever, who feels that way? I'm the only one that cannot keep up this pace. I'm the only one that can never, ever make this look the way it should look, you know? We feel like everybody else can do it, but we can't. And we just start to feel down on ourselves. And then not only that, we sort of get this feeling of exhaustion. So I looked up the word exhaustion, and it's the act. Oh, is this me again? Hold on. I'm not used to this. Emily, you want to come click these? The act or state of using something or being used up completely. You're so sweet. I'm not what? Said, do not throw it. Just the green button. And I'll tell you, click. the action or state of using something up or being used up completely. How many of you ever just gotten in bed at night and you are asleep before your husband even finishes brushing his teeth? Or there's something about my husband Greg's voice. While he's telling me, he's a blue melancholy. I don't know if y'all know about the colors. I think you do if you've ever listened to me. But he likes a lot of details in his stories, and I'm yellow, and I could care less about the details. And he'll just start talking, and the hum of his voice, I am gone. And he's like, you fell asleep. I wasn't even to the end of my story last night. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm sure it was very interesting. You know, whenever you were telling me about that flight into Tokyo, I just couldn't hang with you on that one. I could care less, because you know what? I'll never be in that cockpit, and I will never have to listen to those traffic controllers and try to understand what they're saying. So it's not in my world, so I just, boop, tuned it out. But I have found in being a mom that there's three different types of exhaustion. You can click now. There's physical, there's mental, and there's spiritual. Have you ever found yourself in that spot? Physically, you're just exhausted. Mentally, you're exhausted. Physically, just running here, there, everywhere. Mental, mommy, 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 mommy. You're like, what? Oh, and that's just at 8 a.m. Forget about 5. You know, there's mental, the mommy, mommy, mommy. And then there's spiritual. Sometimes you can be in church all the time, and you just feel like I am dry as a bone. I got nothing for nobody. You know why? Because as moms, we are constantly, let me make sure my lid's on top, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out all day long. And if you're not pouring in at any point, you're going to feel spiritually dry. There's a verse in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is Jesus talking. He says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, Jesus says, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you can find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light. I want us to read this one more time through, and I just want us to all close your eyes, and I want you to understand Jesus is talking to you right now. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Listen, I get it. I want to tell you about a time in my life. Yep, some of y'all weren't even born. I'm not even going to think about that because I'm not as old as what my age says I am, my birth certificate, but I'm going to tell you about a time in my life. It was 1994. I had just had my third child. He was newborn. We decided together that we were going to get out of the Navy. We were going to move back to the Promised Land, which is Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you very much. Greg was going to, of course, get hired by Delta because that was our number one airline of choice. And we were going to live happily ever after because we planned all this when we were in college, right? And everything you plan in college comes to fruition, right? That's exactly right. That is not how any of that happened. We got out of the Navy, check. We had baby number 3, check. But Delta was not hiring. Actually, nobody was hiring. So for 9 months, we went without a paycheck. I don't know if y'all have ever done that. I wouldn't suggest it. It's not fun. It's very stressful on your marriage. We saw our savings go from decent. I mean, let's be real. We didn't have tons, but we had enough to survive, and that's what we did. We survived. And then right about month 6, you know, 3 months in, the Navy comes back to Greg, and they said, hey, because he's trying to get a job with any airlines because that's all he's ever done since he graduated from Georgia Tech. And they said, would you like to come back and be in the reserves, active duty reserves? We'll give you commander pay just like you were doing before. And check, money, that sounds awesome. And you can learn how to fly F-18s. That sounds amazing. Greg had never done that before. And they said, and then you can just wait it out till you get hired by the airlines. Sounds like a good deal, right? So Greg says, do you like this? I said, I love it. It's money. That's wonderful. We are really running low. So we joined. I did not have an older mom at the time to tell me, hey, you just had your third baby. life's going to get really sort of tricky for you right now. You are going at 90 miles an hour. You might want to throttle back to about 50. Nobody had that conversation with me. So I had no idea. I'm ignorantly bliss. Tater was born in June. The summer's sort of slow. I just thought, this is easy peasy, chicken squeezy. Anybody can do this. Then the fall hits. I've got Kelsey in ballet, four-year-old ballet, with a Russian ballet teacher who scared the pants off of me. Emily was in a Mommy and Me class because somebody told me, you better watch out because that middle child, they're going to get left out. And you got to do something special with them. Okay, well, I don't want her to feel left out, so I'm going to do the special Mommy and Me class. Kelsey was in preschool 30 minutes away from where I lived. By the way, we've sold our house. We don't have a house right now. We are houseless. So we're renting houses, just hopping around like nomads. And now we are at this beach, which sounds amazing and wonderful. It wasn't. It's the winter. It's freezing. It's pitch black dark outside. You cannot even see your hand in front of your face at night. Our house is on stilts. We're on the bayside, which is even less exciting. And Greg is never home. Greg leaves Sunday night every single week and returns Friday night. Y'all can do the math. I have a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and a very fat, happy little baby boy. And I have to walk up two sets of stairs to get to our living quarters. During this time, oh, wait, I'm not done. I'm a MOPS leader. So just think about it. Y'all are mom to mom, but it's like this. I'm a leader at the table. I had no business leading a group ever, period. I go to Sunday school. I go to church. We go to Wednesday night church. We go to Sunday night church because that's what you do when you live in the Baptist world, and we were Baptist, okay? So this is my life, and I start the fall doing all the things. I'm a month in, and I mean I am a haggard mess. I was physically, mentally, and spiritually exhausted, running back and forth. Now you add in my oldest daughter gets very, very sick with a kidney problem, and they can't figure it out. The pediatricians kept saying, she has a virus, and I said, I don't think so. You know, 104 fever that won't go away and throwing up, I don't think that's a virus. Call me crazy, but I don't. Anyways, they found out she had kidney reflux. So I'm going back and forth between doctor's visits, hospitals, procedures, all the things, with a two-year-old, with a six-month-old, without a husband, okay? Then I'm at MOPS one day, and this lady at my table, she has one child. He's 4 years old, and she asked for prayer requests. And I said, okay, Jill, what's your prayer request? And she goes, my husband's got a business trip this week. And he's going out of town. He's going to be gone for a night. And I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I literally came unglued. I wish I were joking. I looked at her and I said, one night with a four-year-old? Well, we will pray for you. Won't we, group? Susan, why don't you pray for Jill? I just can't bring myself to do that. That's the day I knew I needed to stop being a MOPS group leader. I had to ask for forgiveness to God himself for what I was feeling towards this lady, and her name was Jill. It's been 30 years, but I still remember her name. Not joking. So I found these verses in Matthew, and I started praying to God, I want this light burden. What do I do? I mean, I'm crying out to God, literal tears, and I'm not a crier, if any of y'all know me. And I kept hearing him say, slow down, stop doing so much. But I didn't know what to give up. Because I was doing so many good things. And I felt like him saying over and over again, you've got to slow down. What's really important, Karen? And you know, whenever I looked at everything individually, everything was important. Everybody knows that if you want your daughter to be good at dance, she has to start when she's three. And you're probably on the late slide on that. Probably two and a half. You know, stupid. And I thought, I cannot go to that ballerina instructor and tell her from Russia. She will bite my head off, and I'm scared to death of her. I cannot stop being a MOPS instructor. What are they going to do? You just can't stop mid-year and be like, hey, peace out. I can't do this. I told Greg what I felt like the Lord was telling me. I said, I think I'm going to stop going to Sunday night service and Wednesday night service. You can't do that. Oh, I can't? Why? Because Karen, we go on Sunday night, and Kelsey's involved in children's choir on Wednesday night. And I'm like, I know, but she's four. Like, do you really think they're going to miss her voice? I think we're okay. And he goes, no, you can't do that. Okay, I can't do that. I can't not let her go to preschool, because then she's going to be stupid. I can't leave Emily out of mommy and me class. Then she's going to feel left out. And I mean, I was in a tizzy. And God just kept saying, slow down. Slow down. So you know what I did? I stopped everything except Sunday morning service, because Greg was home Sunday mornings and he helped me get me to church. And I let Kelsey go to preschool because I didn't want her to be stupid. I actually enjoyed the break. Kelsey was my talker, and she talked nonstop. And I'm like, if you could just be quiet for 5 minutes. But you know what? I wasn't a good mom, because I was yelling my kids into the car. I'd pull into school, preschool, church, whatever, and I'd be like, hi, good morning, how are y'all? Y'all get out of the car. My kids were like, are you Frankenstein? Are you Jekyll? What's going on? Jekyll Hyde, what do we got here, you know? In the good, all the good I was doing, I was neglecting the best for my family and for myself. Because when I say I was a hot mess express, I was a hot mess express. I know y'all find that hard to believe, but it's true. Having a great family doesn't just happen. It takes time, and it takes determination and work. We have to work to realize some things have to change. And it takes determination and courage to accomplish the things that have to change. You know? Now, this was hard. Me having the conversation with my ballet instructor for Kelsey was very difficult. She did fuss me out with a very strong Russian accent. Telling the MOPS head lady, the look of disappointment and fear on her face of who am I going to get to replace you was really difficult. The mommy and me class, they could have cared less because I'd already paid my money. All the things, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the choir instructor, I was going to pick Kelsey for a solo coming up. And you know, ooh, that's a tug right there, solo. Gosh, that sounds good. I could have great pictures from that. I said, no, I'm going to stick to it. I cannot do this. I'm 30 minutes out. I'm 30 minutes back. I am just at the wit's end. And Kelsey is sick. I gotta take care of what's going on with her, right? But it was hard. I'm telling y'all it's hard, not just for y'all to feel sorry for me. I'm telling you it's hard because if you choose to really listen to what I'm saying today and really start applying it to your life, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But the benefits far outweigh the hardness right up front. Did I ever have contact with that Russian instructor ever again? No. Am I okay about it? Yeah, I'm okay about it. She doesn't even know I exist anymore. Nor do I her. But here's the deal. If we don't start paying attention to our lives and the direction that we're going, and whenever we get going so fast, if you don't start paying attention, it's sort of like your children when they go down to the beach and you say, don't go past this flag, right? And you look up and they are 500 feet past the flag. And you're yelling down to them, come back. And what do they say every single time they get back to you? I didn't know I was going down. Their intention is to stay where you told them to, but the tide starts taking them down the path. And if we don't watch it as moms, you can think, my family's going in this trajectory. I know exactly where we're going. But if you don't watch it, you're going to be way over here, and you're going to think, how did I get so far from where I thought we were going? I was doing all the good things. But sometimes in doing the good, like I said, we are not doing the best for our life. Here's the other thing I want to tell y'all before I get into the next stage. Just because you say no today doesn't mean you're saying no forever. Guess what? Greg got hired by FedEx. We bought a house. We got back to civilized living. We moved 5 minutes from our church. Kelsey got back in the choir. Guess who had a solo the next year? Kelsey. Guess who got the great pictures? Mom. Guess who's got it on video that never she looks at? Mom. That's right. There's three steps to set your pace. Okay? The first one is examination. I think this one's really hard, to be quite honest. It's hard to look at your life and not be biased. It's hard to be like, okay, what can I cut? And you may have some pushback, but I would really give this over to the Lord and say, all right, God, here's my schedule. What can I cut? What should I cut? What do you really, really, really want me to cut? And listen to what he says. Because believe it or not, he's on your side. Believe it or not, he wants the best for your family. The next one is action. Like I said, you got to pray about it. You got to lay it down. And sometimes we lay it down like, okay, take it. Okay, no. Okay. We do this all the time. We got to acknowledge the things that are necessary. What are the things that no matter what, this is what I want? And for me, the things that it boiled down to, I wanted a peaceful home. But I was not creating a peaceful home. If you're yelling at your kids to get in the car and hurry, I'm not talking about one morning, okay? I'm talking about every day of their life. Hurry, get in, go. That's not a peaceful home. I wanted a home where I enjoyed being home instead of, okay, I've got an hour to get everything done and then I got to get back in the car and head back out. That's not relaxing. That's not peaceful. You got to acknowledge which things are necessary. And then you've got to navigate your schedule. And for me, Greg being a pilot was always part of my schedule, whether I wanted it to be or not. The next thing we need to do is we need to find contentment. Contentment is a learned behavior. It's not going to come natural to you. It's not going to come natural to me. It's a learned behavior. We have to remind ourselves of the why and continually remind yourself of the why. We need to ask God for patience for the time to plant the seeds that need to be planted in the seasons that need to be planted and ask him to fertilize those seeds. And lastly, we need to find gratefulness in the season that we're in. I promise you, I know that whenever your children are super young, you feel like you will never get out of that season. My sweet daughter-in-law with her 9-month-old is right there right now. She loved the baby season. And now her daughter's starting to crawl. She's starting to pull up. She's starting to put things in her mouth. She's starting to say that word that all moms want to hear until they hear it 500 times a day. And that's mama, 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 mama. She looked at me last night and she went, ah. And I said, yeah, it's going to get worse. But we got to be grateful for the different seasons that we're in because they really don't last long. You know, during this season when I cut everything back, Emily was getting to be 3, And I had taken her to the doctor, and he said, she really does need to be potty trained. And I'm like, you think so? I think we're cool. And he goes, no, she really does. She can hold it a long time. And I said, well, I have noticed she's waking up with dry diapers, big tip. She can go the whole night without going to the bathroom, but yet I still have her in a diaper. Lazy mom. Anyway, so I just decided one morning after I took Kelsey to preschool, I just said, okay, this is the deal. You're still dry. It is 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're still dry. So I just said, okay. I brought the porta potty in the kitchen, and I gave her a bunch of books, and I sat down on the floor. I'd put Taylor down for his morning nap, and I started pumping her full of orange juice. You want more? You want more? You want more? She's just chucking away. We're reading books. She's got like a nice little ring on her bum. And she says, Mommy, I need to get up. I need to go potty. And she said, I want a diaper. And I said, no, we're not going to do diapers anymore. Those are for babies. That Taylor wears diapers. We're going to pee in the potty. You just go right there. That thing you've been sitting on for an hour, that's where you need to go. She was like, no. And I'm like, yes. You want more orange juice? And some poor thing, her bladder was just like, burr. And so anyways, she finally went. She was the easiest one I potty trained. You know why? Because I had the time to really do it. There was no stress involved, really. There wasn't, because I slowed myself down to get into a three-year-old's world and be like, all right, let's do this. I'm not trying to squeeze you in into 10-minute intervals, because that doesn't work, right? Christmas rolled around. We didn't have any Christmas decorations because they were all packed up because we were not in a house, remember? We're in a rented. And I just decided we're going to have an old-fashioned Christmas. Pop popcorn. I strung the popcorn at night while the kids were sleeping. We made little Play-Doh ornaments. Cut out stars, cut out all the things, baby Jesus's, and then we put little hooks on them and hung them all over the tree. She remembers it. She doesn't remember many things in life, but she remembers those Play-Doh ornaments. And you know what? God taught me a valuable lesson in 1994. Slow down to make the best things in your life rise to the top. But we have to slow down. Setting the pace of your family brings peace and it brings joy. And how many of us are really experiencing that? And I'll tell you, over the years, it came in so handy. When my kids started school, we moved back to Georgia. You know, moms volunteer at school. I think that's lovely. I think that's wonderful. I am not dissing moms that volunteered. Was I one of those moms? No. I wasn't, because I had a job at the time. I was working at North Point. Greg was gone. I had to, my goal was to get the kids to school, and I just worked part-time, so I left North Point at 2:30 to get them off the bus or to pick them up in carpool line, so I didn't have that extra time to go in and volunteer. But Greg, when he'd come home, he turned off the jet with FedEx, and he didn't have anything to do. So he would go volunteer all the time at school. They loved him in the front office. They didn't even know my name. And that was okay by me. He'd come home. He said, hey, I saw Carla and Bonnie at school today volunteering. Do you ever feel guilty for not doing that? I said, no, I don't. He goes, wow, I think I would if I were you. And I said, well, you're not me. And I learned a long time ago that I have to make the best use of my time. And for me, going and working at North Point for those few hours, few days a week, it's really tripping my trigger. I like it. I get lunch. I get to talk to people. And people actually tell me I'm doing a good job. And I like that. So I'm not going to do the volunteer thing. I cut things out for the teacher. I send in whatever I need to. And I go to the Christmas parties. I think we're good. But you go, babe. You go, you volunteer, you do all the things. And he did. And that's okay. I told Greg, I learned a long time ago, 1994 to be precise, to be okay with the pace that I've chosen. I want to end with this. I wrote a whole chapter of this in my book. because I think it's so important, and I think so many of us are missing the mark, like I was. It's not that we start out to miss the mark. We're trying to do all the good things. We're trying to keep up and all that. But she just said, I just want to thank you for writing the survival guide. She goes on, I thought it was for 8 kids of littles, but it's not. I have a 5 and a 7. Blah, blah, blah. She says a lot of nice things. She says, her chapter on setting your pace was so affirming to me of the things God has already been showing me. I have always had one pace, fast. I've been making some hard for me cuts this year for the health of my family, and this chapter felt like such a sweet confirmation from God that I'm heading into the right direction. Even being able to read this book at a leisurely pace and take notes is a result of these cuts creating a margin I did not have a year ago. Thank you. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit's guidance in your writing. Here's the question I want to leave with you. What's your current pace? You don't have to share it with anybody at your table. Just to yourself, what's your current pace? Are you paying attention to the things in life that you really and truly want to pay attention to? You know, my daughter, Kelsey, actually is having a procedure today, and she wrote Greg and I a text last night, and she said, today, all my siblings reached out to me one-on-one and said they were praying for me and they were thinking about me for my procedure today or tomorrow. And she said, I just want to thank y'all for whatever you did to create a loving environment in our home to where we are all friends. And as I went to bed last night and I was thinking about this talk, I just thought, I think that's every mom's dream, that their children are friends and that they love each other and they're always pointing each other to the Lord, right? I don't think I'm the only one that had that dream. But in order to accomplish that dream, we have to set a pace that we can keep without going crazy, right? Let me close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this group of women. God, thank you for their faithfulness and coming, even on a cold, cold, cold day. God, I know all of their hearts are pure, and they want the right and best things for their family. Will you please show them and direct them? Thank you that Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God, I don't know one mom out there that's not weary and that's not burdened, truly. I just pray that you meet them where they are. I prayed also that you would provide a way that they are able to come to SOAR in March, because I think that would be a great way for them to pour into themselves so they're better moms for their families. I love you. I thank you for everyone in this room and the families that they represent. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all, thank you.